This is the Mickey Miles and More podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Chris Eliopoulos and Mike Scopa.
Hello, everyone. This is Mike, without Chris, without Michelle. We're going to spend tonight talking about something that I think is pretty cool. It involves a special event at Walt Disney World. So, let's begin right now. I've always mentioned to people that if they ever got a chance to visit Walt Disney World during the December holiday season, that they needed to do everything in their power to turn that dream into a reality. Now, I'm sure that some of you listening to my voice have perhaps had the opportunity to visit Walt Disney World during the holidays, and I would think that most of you may agree with what I'm about to say. But to those listening who have never been to Orlando during December, please get comfortable, settle back, and, well, just listen. When that time comes where you visit the happiest place on earth, regardless of how many times you have visited in the past, the very first time you visit during that holiday season, it will feel like it is the very first time you have ever, ever visited the Walt Disney World Resort. And I say this for a number of reasons. First, you have to understand that there is a concerted effort by the Walt Disney Resort to envelop you into the holiday spirit. Everywhere you turn, you will see decorations, and throughout the day, you will occasionally hear holiday music. Now, I'm talking not just in the parks. If you are fortunate to stay at one of the Walt Disney Resorts, you will find yourself even more ensconced in the holiday spirit. The deluxe resorts are especially draped in the holiday spirit, with the lobbies of the Grand Floridian, Wilderness Lodge, Animal Kingdom Lodge, and others occupied by a grand Christmas tree in their lobby, with each tree decorated to reflect the theme for that particular resort. And if you like gingerbread, then Walt Disney World is where you want to be, with places like the Grand Floridian, the Contemporary, and the Yacht Club leading the way with their special gingerbread traditional displays. Of course, as well as the resorts, each theme park and Disney Springs go to great lengths to keep you in the holiday spirit. Basically, from the moment you step on Walt Disney World property, you will begin to feel the holiday spirit well up within you. Regardless of where you go, the parks, the resorts, Disney Springs, it's a complete festive atmosphere. My first visit to Walt Disney World in December was a long time ago, and it had a huge impact on me. And in fact, before I get any further in this discussion, I'll tell you that if I had to choose a month in which to visit Walt Disney World Resort, let me back up. The only month of the year that I could visit the Walt Disney Resort, hands down, it would be December. Not April, not January, April, not July, not October, but December. There is just no comparison. On that first trip, while flying down to Orlando, I thought, that I'd see some Christmas decorations, but I really didn't expect to feel any type of Christmas spirit down there. Heck, I was going to Florida. Christmas? No way. Well, guess what? Way. Boy, was I wrong. It made a huge impact on me to the point that whenever possible, I would go to any lengths each December following my initial visit to go down to Orlando. I might also mention that I've been to Disneyland for the holidays, and on both coasts, you will find that the company goes all out to fill their guests with the holiday spirit. It's just amazing. Now, I'm getting off the point here, and this discussion on the holidays in Walt Disney World comes with it a special focus for this particular podcast. Now, just like in any other time of the year, a visit to Walt Disney World comes with it the assortment of experiences, noteworthy sights and sounds. And such was the case with my initial visit. Yeah, Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, holidays around the world, storytellers in Epcot, gingerbread houses and resort lobbies, the lights of winter, the Osborne lights were among the elements that caught my eye and lifted my spirit. But there was one particular component of that first trip that really cinched in my mind the need to get down to Orlando every December. What was that component? It was the Candlelight Processional. Now, I'm sure most fans of Walt Disney World who have been to Orlando in December know about the Candlelight Processional. But for those unaware, let me give you sort of an elevator talk about this event. So the Candlelight Processional is an event that's held every night during the holiday season. It takes place in Epcot's World Showcase at the American Gardens Theater, directly across from the American Adventure. It is made up of a huge choir. I'm not sure just how many voices, but I think I read somewhere that it's 1,000. Let's go with that. It includes past and present voices of Liberty singers surrounded by local high school choirs. I'll get more into the voices later. The choir is accompanied by a 50-piece orchestra, and for each performance, there is a celebrity narrator who tells the story of Christmas in between pieces of music and singing. There are 3 performances each night. That's a lot of singing, a lot of music, and a lot of Christmas spirit. Okay, so that's my elevator speech. I was taken so much by this experience that immediately following the performance, I looked around and purchased an accompanying CD that had all the songs and that had a recording of the Candlelight Processional. And full disclosure, as I was jotting down notes for this podcast, I was listening to that very CD in the background. Yep. Alright, so when did this Candlelight Processional event begin? Well, it goes without saying that over the years, most events that take place in Disney resorts around the world, doesn't matter where, Anaheim, Orlando, Paris, you name it, it's very hard to hit a home run on your first try. You learn and adapt. Such is the case with the Candlelight Processional. Being the self-professed Disney nerd that I am, I was curious about the Candlelight Processional. So how did it come about? When did it start? How did it get to Epcot? I had lots of questions, and I needed to find the answers. Well, after a few days of digging around, I think I found these answers. I came up with some interesting facts about the history of the Candlelight Processional, and I thought it would be interesting to put them together and talk about them in a podcast such as this. So let's get started. This all started in 1955. Yeah, the first year of Disneyland, the inaugural year for Disneyland. And it was during that initial holiday season at Disneyland that Walt Disney contacted someone by the name of Dr. Charles C. Hurt. Dr. Hurt was the director of choral music at USC's Thornton School of Music. Now, Walt enlisted Dr. Hurt and told him that it would be wonderful to have Dickens' Carolers on Main Street, USA for his guests. Walt also told Dr. Hurt that he wanted to be able to hear the carolers from his private apartment, which we all know was above the fire station in Town Square. The first order of business was to erect a stage in front of the train station for the carolers to sing to the guests. And on that first holiday season, the carolers performed throughout the Disneyland park. The Disney Company invited guest choirs to perform daily at the bandstand on Main Street USA. During the Christmas season, this area of Disneyland, if you're familiar with it, that was called the Christmas Bowl. And on the opening day of the Disneyland Holiday Festival, in the afternoon, the aforementioned Dickens carolers, along with additional voices from visiting choirs, stood on the train station steps and sang Christmas carols. The music was supplied by several local school bands. The following year, 1956, the school bands were replaced by the Disneyland Band. Dr. Hurt, however, continued to direct the entire choir. Okay, so this was just the start. Let's move on to 1957. This is when the event began to expand. The choirs made up what was called back then Christmas Around the World Parade. And the parade route included going through the Sleeping Beauty Castle and into the Disneyland Plaza, where guests would be entertained by the singers. However, the event had grown so popular over its first 2 years that when the entire choir made its way into the plaza where they were to form a circle to perform, guess what? The number of guests took up most of that area. Well, you know what they say, the show must go on. So instead of forming a circle together, the singers were forced to stand around the plaza, around the Disneyland band, and sort of sang in an informal manner. Now, Dr. Hurt, he recognized how much the entire choir was loved by the guests, and he wanted to invite even more voices. However, the issue of the space made him think that there had to be some other way to ensure that the singers would perform together in a more formal setting. All right, so now let's go to 1958, where there was a change. As a matter of fact, it is in 1958 that you could say was the year that the term candlelight processional can be first properly used. So on that year, holiday season 1958, the choirs formed a procession and made their way down Main Street USA to the plaza, where they were joined by the Dickens carolers, who sang from the Sleeping Beauty Castle balcony. Okay. Still more changes coming on. It was 2 years later in 1960 that this event returned back to the town square. It was this year, 1960, in which we began to see the first of many narrators brought in to read passages of the Christmas story between the different songs that were sung and played. It was also in 1960 that the Disneyland guests first saw what is called back then the living Christmas tree. This quote, living Christmas tree, was created by a fellow by the name of Alexander Benchoff. He was a choral director at Western High School in Anaheim. And his students were always called upon to perform in the candlelight processional, I think in the late 50s until the 1980s. Okay. The tree was basically a structure comprised of, I guess you'd call them risers, which allowed the singers to assemble in a point at which they appeared in the shape of a Christmas tree. This became a very, very popular part of the program, and the living tree soon became the centerpiece of the candlelight processional. And those spots on that tree, they were treated as places of honor for the event. Now, the thing is that this high school a cappella group from Western High School, they were so popular that they were the only singers who sang on that tree until 1981. Imagine that, from 1960 to 1981, those spots on the tree were reserved for the a cappella singers from Western High School in Anaheim. That's pretty interesting. So in 1981, their director retired. So what happened was then in 1982, the Walt Disney Company formed what they called the Disney Employee Choir. And it was from 1982 on that this group, the Disney Employee Choir, would hold the spots of the Living Christmas Tree. I also want to point out that in 1960, actor Dennis Morgan began the parade of narrators who would speak during the event. He was followed by, he was followed by celebrities such as Henry Fonda, Cary Grant, Charlton Heston, Gregory Peck, Jimmy Stewart, and a whole bunch of others. Here's a little bit of a trivia. Walt Disney supported the event, and he attended it all the time, and he attended the last one in December 1965, and that particular performance was narrated by Disney legend Dick Van Dyke. Now, to this day, the Disneyland Candlelight Processional continues on the tradition of beginning the procession from the It's a Small World attraction in Disneyland's Fantasyland, and it gradually makes its way to the steps of the train station. At the train station, the procession is welcomed by the orchestra, who provides the music for the event. It went from a band to an orchestra. However, I want to note that the something that I don't know many people know this. Everyone thinks that, you know, both coasts do it the same way. The difference is that in Disneyland, the Candlelight Processional is performed only twice in December. Actually, it's four times. It's performed on only two nights, and each night has two performances. So think about that. Think about how tough it is to get a ticket or to be there for the Candlelight Processional in Disneyland, and think about the crowds. It's amazing, just amazing. So you've got the choirs, and you've got the orchestra, and within the orchestra, you've got the trumpeteers, and anyone who has been to the Candlelight Processional knows how important the trumpeteers are. So you've got the orchestra, you've got the voices, you've got the orchestra, you've got the trumpeteers, and you've got the guest narrator. So it became very, very popular. So now we're talking, what's going to happen at Walt Disney World? Well, the popularity of the event just, it dictated that it has to be brought to Walt Disney World. And so it was first introduced in Walt Disney World in the first ever holiday season, which was 1971. Now, there was only one person who the company trusted could bring that event, the Candlelight Processional, to the Walt Disney World Resort and have it be a success. And that person was, of course, Dr. Hurd, who some almost 20 years earlier had been contacted by Walt Disney to put something together so that the guests would be entertained in Disneyland. So Dr. Hurd flew in from California to help stage the production. And Rock Hudson was the first narrator for the Candlelight Processional in Walt Disney World. The first person to conduct the orchestra was Frederick Fennell, I believe his name was. At the beginning, the event was staged in front of the Cinderella Castle in the Magic Kingdom. Then eventually, I think a few years later, maybe 2 to 3 years later, they moved the event in front of the train station, much like they did in Disneyland. Now, at Disney World, the event was growing in popularity and in demand. So it was decided it would move to Epcot in 1982. Now, James Earl Jones, Darth Vader, was the final narrator at Magic Kingdom, and the event then began being performed from Thanksgiving weekend to New Year's. Eventually, Dr. Charles Hurt retired, and Derek Johnson became the conductor of the event at Walt Disney World. Derek Johnson had developed a professional a cappella singing group that had performed in the Magic Kingdom in the 1970s, and that group, which was called Regeneration, eventually evolved into what we know today as the Voices of Liberty when Epcot opened in 1982. Derek Johnson, who was a composer, he offered Disney his own custom arrangements of classic holiday songs, and everyone liked it. Now, Felicia Rashad became the first narrator for the Epcot version, which began in 1994. And the show has been performed every year since, with, of course, the exception of 2020, when it was canceled on both coasts due to something called COVID-19. In 2022, a fellow by the name of Dr. John Sinclair, director of music at Rollins College, was honored for conducting over 1,000 performances of the Candlelight Processional at Walt Disney World. Now, my guess is that anyone listening who has been there for the Candlelight Processional probably attended a performance that was directed by Dr. Sinclair. I know I have, and those performances were just outstanding. The person who conducts the Disneyland version these days is Nancy Serhahayan, she's currently the director of choral music at Caltech in Pasadena. Again, each performance is narrated by a guest narrator, and over the years, these narrators were, I guess, supposed to be affiliated at one time in their careers with the Walt Disney Company. If anyone out there can verify this bit of information, be my guest. I don't think I can. I don't have the knowledge to verify this statement, but that's the assumption. In Disneyland, the narrator of the event is kept secret until the day of the first performance. And as I have previously noted, it's only 2 days in Disneyland, 2 performances each night. Walt Disney World announces their narrator lineup months ahead of time, so people can schedule their vacations if they want to see a certain narrator. A few years back, Michelle and I scheduled ours so that we could see Neil Patrick Harris narrate the Candlelight Processional. The first time I attended the Candlelight Processional, I took advantage of what is called the Candlelight Processional dining package or dinner package. That guarantees you a seat at a specific performance on a specific night. And I really recommend it because it's better than rolling the dice and waiting in line for hopefully a chance to see a performance. It's called a processional because the choir enters one by one on each side of the American Gardens Theater. Each member is wearing a special traditional robe and holding a candle operated by a battery. The performers are arranged and lined up based on their height and voice part, such as soprano, alto, bass, tenor, and so forth. I wanted to mention that the Disneyland event is held on Main Street USA with a stage set up around the train station in Town Square. And again, Epcot, it takes place at the American Gardens Theater. The songs are composed and arranged for Disney to tell the nativity story, and the orchestra performs along with the choir. And if you're interested in the songs used, you can go to Spotify, do a search for Candlelight Processional, and that'll call up the playlist. By the way, the narrator for the Spotify playlist is Felicia Rashad, the first narrator for the Epcot version of the Candlelight Processional way back in 1994. There have been a few changes over the years. Apparently now, I guess, the first nightly performance in Epcot is performed by youth choirs made up of schools from around the area. The remaining two performances include cast members who have to audition to perform, just like the schools who perform by sending an audition tape. There are veteran choirs. One in particular I know is the Seminole High School, located in Sanford, Florida. They may have been there more than any other high school. I could tell you that, you know, there's nothing like attending the Candlelight Processional, and especially at the end of the show when it begins to snow. In Florida, it begins to snow. It's really cool. So, everybody, that's the story of the Candlelight Processional. And if you ever get a chance to attend it in Disneyland, which is rare, or Walt Disney World, you're never going to regret it. It will really, really make you smile. It's just one of the many sights and sounds of the holidays that you'll experience during your first visit to a Disney resort during the holiday season. And with that, along with my Mickey Miles and More co-hosts, Michelle Scribner, Chris Aliopoulos, and the incredible Rick Gregg, we wish everybody a happy holiday season. And here's a wish that 2024 brings with it peace and prosperity for the world, because we really need it. So, I think it's only appropriate that as we say goodbye, that we hear from the first narrator of the Candlelight Processional in Epcot, none other than Felicia Rashad. And as always, we'll see you in the parks and on the road. And now I'll turn it over to Felicia.
May the joy and peace found at the manger be yours in abundance this Christmas season and always.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.